Good morning again. This is the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, April 25th, 2019. We have a lot of delightful guests with us today. We begin every meeting by gaveling it in, so we're going to invite our guests up to help us with the gaveling, and they're welcome to say hello to the chair bear while they're here. And then we will start the meeting. So I welcome the children to come on up and help us with the gaveling. Well done.
Good job.
Good job. Thank you.
Guilty.
Nobody's guilty. Nobody's guilty. Jeez. Tough judge. Thank you. Thank you.
Good job.
Well done.
Good job.
Oh. I got it.
A little while for you, buddy.
Go ahead. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Good job. You made sure. Good job.
Thank you. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Want to bang the gavel?
Yes, you're on TV.
Hi.
Good. Bang it. All right. Good job. Thank you. Good job.
I just saw myself.
Yeah, you guys are on TV. Excellent.
Good job.
Good job.
Ooh. You know what to do.
Oh. Don't walk off with it.
Ooh, right. Here you go.
Thank you.
Here you go. Okay, ready? There you go. Look, right there. Oh, good job. Okay.
Bang the gavel.
Good job. All right, go make it. Good job. All right.
Good job. Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Good job. Well done.
Your turn, pal. Hit the hammer. Go boom. Nice job.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ready? Let's do this. Ready? One, two.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. I talked to Brandy's here from where they're in, and she says that they won't have Thomas Victor and three, and they don't for the approach of coming back today.
Okay.
So.
All Well, thank you very much to all of our assistant gavelers. The meeting is well and truly called to order now. We're going to give those guests who would prefer not to sit through the meeting a moment to leave the room and go off and do something more interesting. I want to start with a couple of programming notes. As some of you may have seen, we put out a new draft on Advisory Opinion 2018-12 this morning. It was the product of a lot of hard work and back and forth, and I particularly appreciate the efforts of the vice chairman in working with me and trying to find a path forward on this. The requesters have asked for a little bit more time to review the draft, so we're not going to be discussing that today. We're going to hold it over, and hopefully we'll really and truly resolve that at the next meeting. Also, item six on the agenda, you wouldn't think...
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
May I ask, if you wouldn't mind, it might be useful for the public and for the requesters who may be listening to the meeting this morning to just kind of explain your position on the draft that you made public this morning. I think, you know, I for one am a little bit... we were ready to vote, as you know, last time on draft day. We told you we'd be willing to take a look at any edits. We just got something from you yesterday. We did work with you yesterday to try to come up with something that we could all agree on. But we had been waiting around for 2 weeks to hear back from you after an extensive and productive public meeting 2 weeks ago. So it just might be helpful for the requesters to kind of get the benefit of hearing your thoughts on draft C.
Well, if you would like to have a discussion on it, then we can have that discussion when it comes up on the agenda.
Okay.
You know, the requesters had asked for us to hold over. We don't usually talk about it when requesters ask for things to be held over.
Well, the reason, as you know, that they asked for it to be held over is that the draft went public this morning. OGC, what time did it go public this morning? Joe?
I think it was around 8:30.
Okay. So they presumably didn't have, I don't know, Mr. Wenziger, do you want to let us know what the dynamic is on that? I assume they needed more time to look over it and to consult with their client. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I get the sense that the idea is that they need to discuss this with their client and that they didn't have enough time to do so.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, as I said, when the requesters ask for something to be held over, we usually honor that request. You and I have had conversations with this. The vice chairman and I have had conversations about this. I'm sorry if you feel inconvenienced by the last 2 weeks.
I didn't say I was inconvenienced.
There are many matters on our agenda that have been sitting around, some of them for years at the behest of you and your colleagues. So, you know, I don't think that this is really a productive exercise in discussing delays. If you want to talk about delays at the FEC,
sure, I'm happy to.
That is
happy
a much
to. I'm
longer
ready, I'm
conversation.
Ready to talk about anything you'd like. And so then I'll just say for my part that
it hasn't been called.
Oh, yeah, I thought we were.
No, I was just describing what was going to happen at the meeting.
Okay. So you want me to talk about it not right now, but later in the meeting?
I was going to hold it over at the request of the requesters.
Okay.
I take it that you urgently want to
I just want to stay
something.
Where I am on the public because it's not very clear when all these drafts go out. They're not necessarily attached to any one commissioner. And so I'd just like to say to the requester and to the public where I am on the, and you let me know when I can do that. But
okay.
Like
well, why don't we get to that in the order in which it's on the agenda? I was going to hold it over, but since my colleague seems to really want to talk about it, we can talk.
I just want to state to the public where my position is. That's all.
That's fine. I'm happy for you to share your views with the public.
Thank you.
What I was starting to say before was item 6, 2019 meeting dates. I put that on the agenda. I didn't think it was going to be that complicated to negotiate meeting dates, but with only four of us here, we all have to be willing to sign on to the dates in order to have a meeting because we need all of us in order to make a quorum. I haven't gotten any feedback from my colleagues. I did circulate that. I don't have the date of when I originally circulated it, but I've been waiting for feedback on that. My plan is to have a more aggressive than usual meeting calendar for the rest of the year. As many of you know who watch the commission, the commission tends to meet in alternate weeks and do our other work and prepare for the meetings in between. What tends to happen, though, is particularly with the executive calendar, is that unless something is calendared for a discussion at an executive session, you know, nothing happens. We don't get the votes. We don't get fact and legal analysis edits. We just wait. So in order, hopefully, to address the backlog, I am proposing that we meet pretty much on a weekly basis, at least an executive session for the rest of the year. We're probably not going to be able to do that. People have vacations. I understand that. And I'm not trying to jam anybody. I just think we have a lot of work to do. There is a big backlog of cases that have been sitting on commissioners' desk for, in some cases, years. And we owe it to the public to resolve those matters and get it on the public record so that people will know what the resolution of those cases are. So I'm hoping that by the next meeting, we'll have an agreed-upon calendar for voting on and for discussion. Mr. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to speak to that issue. The discussion has been to put together a more aggressive schedule in terms of handling the matters that that are in the building. In the last election cycle or two, we've had, I believe, record numbers of complaints that have come in the building. There's a lot... there's a lot that's cycling through the enforcement apparatus, coming up through the Office of General Counsel, and so trying to look through and figure out how we can do that as aggressively, well, and realistically, and understanding what the needs of the schedules of the commissioners, of the members of the Office of General Counsel are to meeting those dates, so we won't. I look forward to continuing to work with you on that. I hope that we can, I would anticipate that we'll have that put together next week so that we can, like I said, have a an aggressive meeting schedule in terms of continuing to resolve matters at a very efficient clip.
Thank you. I appreciate that and look forward to that cooperation. So we're not going to do item 6 on the agenda. With that, we will turn to item 1 on the agenda, which is a preliminary discussion of the report on the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
Madam Chair, I believe we have special motions.
Yes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission add to the agenda the preliminary discussion of the report on the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election and the Audit Division recommendation on the New Jersey Republican State Committee, and that the Commission determine pursuant to 11 CFR Section 2.7D that business so requires and no earlier public announcement was possible. I further move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider agenda documents number 18-43-C and 19-16-A.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Having all the kids in the building today reminds me that when my kids were little, they used to do something at school called Deer Time, drop everything and read. And it would be, a period of the day when classes would just get quiet and everyone would sit and read. And I feel like Washington had Deer Time starting, I think, last Thursday, when a very large document was made public, and everybody dropped everything and started to read through it. I know I have started to read through it. I have not finished it. I sort of had high hopes that over the weekend I was just going to drop everything and read the whole document, but I must confess I have not gotten through all of it yet. I have read parts of it. And obviously there are parts of it that are not within our purview, but there are issues that are discussed in there that are squarely within our wheelhouse. And I thought that given the extreme public interest in this document, not only in Washington but across the country, that it would benefit the American people and it would behoove us to at least say initially what our plans are with respect to this document. The document is pretty compelling reading. One of the first sentences is, the Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systemic fashion. So that's pretty alarming. This confirms a lot of information that we've gotten from the intelligence community and through prior indictments that were issued by the special counsel. but it is obviously a fuller discussion of these issues. And as I said, some of them are within our wheelhouse. So I wanted to let the public know that I have asked our lawyers to dig into this document. I've asked our enforcement attorneys to review the document to see whether there is any information that is relevant to any matters that may be in the building right now. Not saying that there are, just saying that if there are any that are relevant, we would want to see whether there's any information in the Mueller report that would help us come to a conclusion, a resolution on that, would help us make decisions and would allow us to be better informed on that topic. I've also asked our policy attorneys to dig into the document with an eye towards seeing and making recommendations to the commission as to whether there are further rulemakings, policy statements, legislative recommendations, anything that we can do here at the FEC in order to further protect our elections and our democracy and to help ensure to the extent that we can that the activities that happened in 2016 that are so troubling and have been detailed in the report, that we put up stronger defenses against them for 2020. I am hoping to convene a forum of outside experts on this topic because I don't think that we should do this in a vacuum. I don't think that we should assume that we have all the information right here and that we will think of absolutely every idea. And I have already reached out to the vice chairman and asked for his assistance in compiling an appropriate panel of experts who could help advise us. And I look forward to working with him on that. I thought 1 week was not enough time to really pull that together, but I'm hoping that we can do that in reasonably short order, because I do think it's important, and I know that there are a lot of smart folks out there who are thinking about these issues and that we could benefit from their assistance. Obviously, one item that is lingering on our agenda and has lingered for too long is the internet disclaimer rulemaking that is still pending. I've had some discussions with the vice chairman about that recently, and I was hoping to be able to announce a schedule today. We're not quite there yet, but I am hoping that very soon we will be able to announce a plan for going forward and for wrapping that rulemaking up in fairly short order, because I think it's been, we had a hearing last summer. It's been sitting on our plate for too long. We need to make some decisions explain to the American public what the rules are and what we're doing to make sure that there is the best possible information out there about the advertising that is on the internet. So this is really just the beginning of a discussion, and my purpose in putting this on the agenda was that, as I said, I know everyone's really interested in this and what various entities of government are going to be doing in light of this report, whether actions are going to be taken. So I just wanted to give my initial plans for that and let everybody know. And if anybody else has any comments on that, Commissioner Hunter.
Oh, thank you. Obviously, any foreign interference in our election is not acceptable, and we all agree certainly with that. I would just ask the chair to keep in mind that our jurisdiction, as we've discussed numerous times in the past, is limited. And so I would hate to give any member of the public false hope that we might be able to correct some of the problems or potentially all of the problems outlined in the Mueller report. Happy to hear from our counsel on if any changes we might be able to make to our regulations to thwart this type of activity. But again, our jurisdiction is limited, and I don't want the public to think that we have more power to stop this abhorrent behavior than we actually do. I would also caution my colleagues to not jump to conclusions before we'd have a chance to really review some of these cases. The chair put out a statement on April 18th, and one of the sentences in the second paragraph says, every bit of this activity, Well, it's probably better if I read both sentences. The Russian government spent money to create and run botnets, spent money to organize and promote dozens of political rallies within the United States, and spent money to successfully hack the Clinton campaign, Democratic Party organizations, and state election administrators and agencies. Every bit of this activity is in connection with a federal, state, or local election, and every bit of it violates 52 U.S.C. 30121. I think that's incredibly premature. You said you haven't fully read the report, and so I don't know how you can, come to that conclusion. I don't know that hacking state election administrators is a violation of campaign finance law. You know, happy to look at it, happy to think about it, but I think we should do this deliberately and not just try to get out ahead of something that's too serious to be taken lightly.
Thank you, Commissioner Hunter.
Oh, you're welcome.
Always so polite. It is my view that if there is spending by foreign governments to influence our elections, then that is a violation of the campaign finance laws. Obviously, I'm not talking about any particular enforcement matters right now. That's just my view of the law. And I would hope that we could come together to take the strongest actions that we can at the Federal Election Commission. As I said at the very beginning, there's a lot of stuff in the Mueller report that is not within our purview, but some of it squarely is. And I would hope that we can all come together to take the strongest possible actions to prevent foreign spending in our elections, and we'll just have to see how that goes.
But which part of it squarely is? You just said part of what's in the report is squarely within our jurisdiction. Which parts are you referring to?
There are sections on the FICA in the report.
Right, that the Russian nationals violated FICA, is that the part you're talking about?
There are sections. I am not going to go through the report page by page with you here, but I think everybody knows that there are campaign finance issues in the report, and that's where I think we should focus our attentions as the campaign finance agency. And I would hope that everybody would enter into that in a cooperative spirit, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Do we have any further discussion? Any other comments? Okay, then. Oh, Mr. Vice Chairman.
I was just going to add that I'm, like everyone else, still working my way through the report. I look forward to hearing the reports back from OGC with respect to its implications on our enforcement docket, as well as potential policy implications going forward. And when those recommendations are before us, I look forward to reviewing those and seeing what it is within our purview that we can do.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Commissioner Walther?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree that I'm looking forward to the forum. I don't know who's been invited, but I hope it'll be somebody that will be able to take a look at or give us some advice on how we can stay current with the highest degree of security that we could possibly have for our own work, for the things that we have here, which are have security requirements. We've seen where other entities have been hacked, even though we must, in my opinion, I was very surprised to see that they didn't have the technology to prevent it. That's something that I think we need to be daily considering for the information that we have ourselves. So hopefully at this forum or along the way, we'll maybe develop a protocol that we can use to make sure we stay abreast of the various latest things that are coming out to prevent this kind of thing.
Thank you, Commissioner Walther. And as with the Vice Chairman, I would welcome your input on who we should invite to the forum, which, as I said, is in the very preliminary stages. Right now it's just an idea, but we're hoping to operationalize it pretty soon. Okay. Well, as I said, I was planning at the request of the requesters who are not here, and I don't know if they are listening in, to hold over the next matter, but Commissioner Hunter has requested the opportunity to speak on this, so certainly not my intent to prevent any commissioner from speaking their minds. So we will call item 2, Draft Advisory Opinion 2018-12, Defending Digital Campaigns, Inc. I don't know if council wants to say anything about it.
I'll just discuss the drafts quickly.
Okay, that would be helpful.
Remind the public. The requester here asks whether it may provide or facilitate the provision of certain cybersecurity services, software, and hardware to federal candidate committees and national party committees on a nonpartisan basis and according to predetermined objective criteria. We've discussed drafts, agenda documents 1843A and 1843B in previous open meetings, and today we have a new agenda document of this morning, 1843-C. Drafts A and C conclude that the proposal is permissible, while draft B concludes that the proposal is impermissible. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Since we're going to discuss it, and Commissioner Hunter has asked for my views, I'm happy to so state, as I think was made clear at the last meeting. I did have concerns, not about the proposal that was before us, which seems not just fine, but in fact laudatory. I have said in the past that I think, building on the last discussion, that we're in an all hands on deck moment for our democracy, and it is encouraging that folks who are in the private sector as well as the public sector are focused on this and are looking for ways to help. My concern always was not with the particular proposal, but rather with the ramifications for other aspects of the law. So in hopes of trying to get to a yes to allow these folks to do what seems like could be very beneficial activity, we've been trading ideas, and as I said, I've had some productive discussions with the vice chairman. We did some last-minute wordsmithing where literally the commissioners were sitting in a room with their pencils and saying, well, how about this and how about that, and got later in the evening and figured out that maybe the subjects and the verbs didn't quite line up in some of those sentences that got written at the last minute. So we tried to fix that. I think that draft C has the potential to be a consensus draft. Of course, we'll want to hear what the requesters and any commenters have to say on it. It approves the request using an analysis that's largely informed by one of the comments we received from the Campaign Legal Center that suggested an approach that relied on Section 30121. Am I getting the section number right? Still haven't gotten used to the new section numbers of the Act, the prohibition on foreign national spending, which is, of course, you know, what they're trying to do. They're trying to prevent foreign intervention. So I think that draft C is not a perfect approach from anybody's perspective. I think there were I wanted to see perhaps more caveats in there, and my colleagues wanted to see perhaps less, but I thought that we had reached a place where we could all live with it, and I think that's also a useful exercise for this commission to try to move off of our original starting places and find a place in between where we all can land. I think the public benefits when we are able to speak with one voice, and as I said, I very much appreciate the efforts of the vice chairman to, you know, help try and find that place. So we will, if the requesters are listening out there, those are my views, and I'm looking forward to bringing this back and finally concluding this AO, which has been sitting around for a long time, but that was, as the requesters conceded, largely because they kept requesting that we delay it and ultimately provided, I think, some useful comments and some useful clarifications, and we were able to get some useful comments from the Campaign Legal Center, and I think all of that was beneficial and helped to lead us to a place where hopefully four commissioners could land. Commissioner Hunter?
Thank you. That was helpful. I appreciate it. So on my position on this, as I said earlier, it doesn't necessarily come through when you make these documents blue. You know, the public doesn't necessarily know where you stand on things. So I continue to support draft A because I don't, for the which I discussed last time, for the most part, because this money is not going to be made for the purpose of influencing or in connection with a federal election. It's for the purpose of preventing foreign nationals from hacking into political party campaigns, which I think we all agree with. And in the spirit of the conversation, we want to do everything we can, I think, to prevent such foreign interference. So I plan to vote for draft A when we move to a vote. But I did say that I would reluctantly support draft C in the spirit of compromise. As the chair said, the three of us sat in there last night and worked on some of this language. But I wanted to highlight on draft C, page 12, the lines 15 through 18, the yes answer is conditioned on, I'll just read the sentence. However, because this advisory opinion is premised on the threat of foreign cyber attacks against party and candidate committees and the implications those attacks have on commission enforcement of section 30121, the commission's approval is conditioned on DDC's commitment not to accept any donations from foreign nationals and its adherence to the representations described above. I don't believe I've ever conditioned anything in an AO on something that an organization is permitted under the law to do. And so in this case, I was reluctant to agree to do that, but I thought there was at least a connection with the underlying purpose of draft C, not draft A, but draft C, to prevent foreign nationals from interfering in elections, that maybe it does make sense to condition the approval on not accepting donations from foreign nationals. So that's the part of the draft that I'm most interested in hearing from requesters on, and one that I was very reluctant to agree to because, again, I don't think it's necessarily within our jurisdiction to add conditions to AOs that aren't within our purview. Again, this one has a bit of a tenuous connection, but I wanted to make it clear that I would be willing to support draft C because my understanding is that it would get 4 votes. And is that understanding correct? And the reason I'm asking that is, I suppose it's possible. I don't know if requesters are in a hurry to get this answer. I just don't know the answer to that. To the extent that they are, if they would like to provide comment to us, letting us know if they're okay with draft C, we could certainly do that on tally vote. And that's the other reason I wanted to bring it up at the meeting today, so that they don't have to wait another 2 weeks if they don't want to. Happy to talk about it in 2 weeks, but if they'd like to do comments on C, we certainly can handle that on tally.
Mr. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My thoughts are similar to those of Commissioner Hunter in the sense that, I, as I said last time, my preferred approach was draft A. That doesn't have the requisite 4 votes, and I agree that when there's a possibility of finding an approach that all 4 of us can support, even if it's not the favorite approach by any of us, I still think that's a worthwhile exercise to undertake in all aspects of commission activities, whether it's on the open meeting agenda dealing with draft advisory opinions, the regulations, or in the enforcement arena. So I've been glad to be involved in those discussions. I look forward to hearing what the comments are from the requester. If there are concerns that they have, look forward to hearing those and seeing how we might be able to accommodate those in coming up with a consensus approach. If they're fine with this, then perhaps we could even resolve this short of going to the next meeting. But like I said, I in this matter and on others, I do think that it's worthwhile to try to find the approach that's most likely to garner 4 votes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Draft C, I just saw this morning, so I know that it's 90% of what it is from our conversations, but the draft, the paragraph that Commissioner Hunter mentioned is of interest and it'd be worth our talking about that. That wasn't in the previous draft that I had seen. But we are geared very strongly to make sure that we can do everything we can to develop security against foreign interception with any of our communications. And I think we find ourselves doing an extra measure of commitment to try and accomplish an agreement on something like this. And I'm sure we'll get it done, and probably by the end of the day. But I can see where that might be worthy of a little more conversation that Commissioner Hunter had. And I've submitted a draft yesterday for circulation, but it didn't have that in it. And so it had some other thoughts in it as well. But like the rest of my colleagues, I'm ready to go with draft C, if even without change, based upon where we are now, if need be.
Thank you, Commissioner Walther. I doubt very seriously if that sentence is going to be a problem for the requesters. I doubt if they were intending on taking foreign money, but since they are organized as a 501c4, theoretically they could, and that would be a very odd result if, in the interests of blocking foreign intervention in our elections, we allowed foreign money to fund operations that were going to be then effectively in-kinded to campaigns and party committees. But I don't anticipate that that's going to be problematic for them, but it is in keeping with the spirit of the rationale behind the AO. And again, I thank the vice chairman for his wordsmithing on that particular sentence. If we get comments in and everybody's happy with it and people want to vote on tally, I'm perfectly open to that as a way of moving forward. You know, we've talked about this, and I think that would be fine. And obviously, we would then make that result public, and the public would know about it as well. If there are no further comments on the AO that's not technically in front of us, we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is, now we finally have someone who can authoritatively tell me, is it OSHA or OSIA?
OSHA.
Okay. It is OSHA Network LLC. Are you Mr. Sack? We are delighted to have you here. Draft Advisory Opinion 2018-13. There are two drafts. Ms. Wallstriker.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Weintraub. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 1849A and 1849B are alternative draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by OSHA Network LLC. OSHA Network is a for-profit entity that plans to make available to political committees infrastructure that would allow supporters of the political committees to use their computing power to participate in a cryptocurrency mining pool. OSHA Network would convert the proceeds of the mining pool to U.S. dollars and transfer those amounts minus a fee to the political committees. OSHA Network asks a number of questions about its proposal, including its permissibility under the Act and Commission regulations and how it would be characterized and reported. Both drafts conclude that the proposed activity does not fall within the volunteer internet activity exemption from the definition of a contribution, as suggested by the requester. Draft A concludes that both the individuals and the requester would make contributions, while Draft B concludes that only the individuals would make contributions, and OSHA Network, as a commercial vendor providing a service to the recipient political committees for a commercially reasonable fee, would not make any contributions. Both drafts conclude that only individuals who may make contributions may participate in the mining pool, and both drafts further conclude that participating political committees will be required to report contributions received, while the requester will not have any reporting obligations, and there are no restrictions on how the requester may sell mined cryptocurrency. We received 2 comments on the request, 3 comments on draft A, and no comments on draft B. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions for either our counsel or Mr. Sack, or discussion on either of the drafts? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be interested to hear from counsel about the thoughts on the drafts that have been introduced, draft A and draft B. To hear your thoughts on the reasoning that's and the proposed answers. Here's your opportunity to allow the commission to hear your thinking.
Mr. Sack.
Mr. Sack, excuse me, can I ask you to hit that red button just in front of you?
Oh, yes.
Till it turns green, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and speak to you today and for all of the various scheduling accommodations we needed to make because of the shutdown and some other considerations. So I don't want to really belabor arguments that we've made at some length in comments on draft A. What we have before us is draft B, and I've gone over that very carefully with my client. And we are prepared to accept draft B and ask the commission to adopt draft B unanimously.
It's the only way we can adopt anything these days.
Absolutely, of course. I'm sorry to be redundant. But obviously what we're looking for is a pathway forward that can that has a consensus in support of the commission. So in that light, we'd ask the commission to adopt draft B and provides clarity, which is very important in a situation like this.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if we might take just a very brief recess to just discuss one issue offline and sure. Just amongst commissioners, just to see if we might be able to, again, find a way that we can get four votes on this. So
four votes is always desirable. We will stand in recess, hopefully for not very long.
Yes.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Sack, for your patience in having us go over things. The I'm going to be able to support the draft as well. I think it provides you useful guidance in terms of how you can conduct your activities in compliance with the regulations and in compliance with the statute. Obviously, this touches upon the internet exception and the definite and what constitutes an internet activity and what is the use of equipment and services for uncompensated internet activities. And this doesn't. As I believe the explanation and justification and the internet exception rule points out, that not every incidental use of the internet necessarily falls within that exception. And I think that the analysis is correct that for why these mining pools don't fit within the sorts of activities that are contemplated by the regulation. And so I think that while on the one hand you're getting a no answer, I think that in the larger picture, it's giving you meaningful guidance as to how to conduct your business in a way that's in compliance with the regs that would allow you to move forward with your business model. And again, out of the interest of finding four votes and speaking on a consensus basis as much as possible, I'm willing to support draft B.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I, too, am going to support draft B. We had draft A, and we were looking at it, and it didn't seem quite right. And after a lot of internal discussions and back and forth with the lawyers, we came up with draft B a number of weeks ago. Actually, it was longer ago than that. It was circulating in the building for a while before we were able to make it public. But, you know, it's been public, I think, since April 10th. So I think you had a fair shot at reviewing it, and the public has had a fair shot at.
Yes, we don't quarrel with that.
One of the authors of the internet regulation, Michael Toner and I literally wrote that together. I think that this accurately reflects both the regulation's words and the intent behind those words. This is not a volunteer. The activities don't fall into the volunteer exception. But I do think that the draft B does accurately set forth how the regulation applies in this case. And I'm happy that we're going to be able to give you some clarity on this, and as well as the rest of the public. So I, too, will support draft B. Any other comments? Commissioner Walter?
You know, for a minute there, I wasn't so sure it was going to happen, but I'm glad we're going to support Plan B here. And again, thank you. I think I'm a little bit surprised because I wasn't sure what your reaction was going to be, but I'm glad you're telling us to go ahead with it.
Commissioner Hunter?
I, too, will support draft B.
Thank you.
I would just say I found it to be a very interesting legal and policy issue, but rule one for litigators is if you get a result that's satisfactory, you stop talking.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to do now. And thank you very much for your careful attention.
We are glad that you find it satisfactory. Mr. Vice Chairman, would you like to make a motion?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. In consideration of advisory opinion request 2018-13, submitted by Ocean Network, LLC, I move approval of draft B, which is set forth in agenda document number 18-49-B.
Vice Chairman has moved approval of draft B, agenda document 18-49-B, in response to the advisory opinion request by Ocean Network, LLC, by Mr. Sack here. Advisory opinion request 2018-13. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 The motion passes unanimously. I love it when that happens. Thank you, Mr. Sack.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd like to thank Ms. Wallstreicher, who did an excellent job with her kids here in the room today.
Yes,
so they got to,
I hope
they're
very
proud of
you
in action.
Yeah, and I should say I'm very appreciative of the work of the staff and the good working relationship that I had with them throughout the whole process. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for that. We know we have great staff, but it's always nice to hear it from other folks as well. Thank you. Okay. The next item on the agenda is Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the New Jersey Republican State Committee, A17-17. Mr.
Morning.
Montas, would you like to speak? Thank you.
Madam Chair and Commissioners, before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum for the New Jersey Republican State Committee recommending approval of two findings. The two findings presented are finding one, the misstatement of financial activity, and finding two, the reporting of debts and obligations. And we're here and we're available to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. I agree with the recommendations that are in the recommendation memo, speaking for myself. My concern goes to a recommendation that is not in the recommendation memo, and that pertains to the joint fundraising agreement and compliance with the joint fundraising regulations at 11 CFR 102.17. C. As you know, the New Jersey Republican State Committee received over $1.5 million in net proceeds from a joint fundraising committee with the Trump Victory Fund. And on the same day, it turned around and transferred virtually the entire pot of money to the Republican National Committee. So, you know, these funds are raised under a joint fundraising agreement that allows committees to accept, the individual committees who are part of the joint fundraising agreement to accept all of money up to the limits for each committee. And in this case, and, you know, and I should say it's not the only instance, but this is the one that's in front of us today, so this is the one we're talking about. Money came into the Joint Fundraising Committee and was immediately turned around from the State Committee back to the National Committee, as if all the money were just raised by the National Committee, which would have been in excess of the contribution limits. I don't know if anybody would like to, from either the audit staff or the legal staff, would like to speak to why there is no recommended finding on that. No. Okay, then. Well, I think there should have been a finding, and therefore I will support a motion to incorporate a finding. If there are not four votes for the finding, obviously it won't be included in the ultimate audit report. But this is I suppose this and the final audit report are my only opportunities. This is my first opportunity to publicly express my views on this and to try and get the report to include the recommendations that for the findings that I think would be supported under these facts. Any comment, Commissioner Hunt?
I won't be able to support your additional finding. My question is, are you, if you plan to put out a statement on it, if you could just give us a heads up, because we may want to put one out on the record as well, explaining my view, which is different than yours.
I would be happy to do so.
And my other question is this, I just haven't had a chance to look into this. I really don't. Is this the, would have, including this type of finding, have followed the audit manual? Was there a way to include this type of thing in the report? And I'm just asking for future reference, because I think we should be able to state our opinion on different things that come up in the audit report, but if there's not a mechanism to insert it in the report, I'm not sure that's...
Well, this is the mechanism. You know, people may not agree, and it may not happen, but there's always a mechanism.
Okay.
Did you want to?
Yes, thank you. If there was a problem with the way the committee disclosed the transfers in, then that would have been a threshold for that, and that would have made it a finding audit report if it breached a threshold. But in this case, we did not have that. There was only one item that was not reported, and that is a part of our misstatement finding.
And my concern is not so much with the reporting, but with the underlying transaction itself.
But that wouldn't have come up in the audit program. That was my understanding of what you said. I'm not opposed to your bringing up your thoughts on the law, but I'm wondering if this is the kind of thing that's going to happen in every audit going forward. You know, if we can kind of just sort of look at what happened on the public record and say things that we thought might be a violation, maybe that's fine with us. Maybe we should continue to do that. But if it's not something that would have come up through the audit program, then it's just outside of that.
Well, as you know, our auditors consult with our counsel, mm-hmm. and issues are often raised in that context. I don't want to get into anything that is not on the public record, so I won't.
Okay.
But there are opportunities in general, for our lawyers to review the audit findings and to, and in fact, they routinely do weigh in on whether what they think the legal ramifications are. And sometimes the lawyers will recommend something that is at a variance with the auditors. Sometimes they will substantiate what the auditors have done and say they think that is appropriate and all that is presented from a legal perspective. But that's not unusual. It's actually kind of standard practice.
Well, I can't really respond to that fully. So I can't really say what I want to say.
I know. Neither of us can actually say what we want to say, which is unfortunate. But I think this is the best we can do in terms of clarifying the public record and our views of the law.
And as I said earlier, I think it'd be useful, since we're bringing this up to the public, if I think you said you are going to write a statement on your theory of the law, I would like to do the same if you do. So
I would be happy to give you a copy. It is not written at this point, and I would assume that it would. It's probably premature to be putting out statements at this point. You know, it will at a minimum wait for the final audit report, I would think. So unless there is further discussion, I will entertain a motion if Commissioner Walther would
like to. Thank you, Madam Chair. But in view of the conversation, I'd like to ask anybody on staff who's been working on this if there's any problem with us moving forward with a separate motion, procedurally or otherwise.
Ms. Stevenson?
There may be some question about that.
No, there's nothing improper about the making of the motion.
And I'll make it. Thank you. In A1717, audit of the New Jersey Republican State Committee, I move to add a new finding that the New Jersey Republican State Committee violated the joint fundraising regulation at 11 CFR section 102.18C.
17C.
Excuse me, 17C. How do you do that? When it received $1,585,755 in net proceeds from the Trump Victory Joint Fundraising Committee, and on the same day that NJRSC received the proceeds, it transferred $1,585,635 to the Republican National Committee, which I think is a difference of $120, I calculated.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the other $220. Service fee, I guess. Thank you. Commissioner Walther has moved that we add to the audit of the New Jersey Republican State Committee, A17-17, a new finding that the New Jersey Republican State Committee violated the joint fundraising regulations at 11 CFR 102.17C when it received $1,585,755 in net proceeds from the Trump Victory Joint Fundraising Committee, and on the same day that NJRSC received the proceeds, it transferred $1,585,635 million to the Republican National Committee. Is there any discussion on the motion?
I have a question. I'd like to ask something of the chair, just between the two of us.
Oh, okay. Short recess.
We can go ahead.
Sorry about that.
The motion is before you now.
Okay. Motion on the table. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
No.
Motion fails 2-2 with Commissioner Walther and me voting in favor and the Vice Chairman and Commissioner Hunter voting against. Is there another motion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In our consideration of audit division recommendation memorandum on the New Jersey Republican State Committee, which is A17-17, I move approval of the recommendations contained in the memorandum.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I agree with the recommendations that are in the memorandum, so I will support the motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Any but well, no. Well, passed unanimously. There's nobody left to oppose. Thank you. Thank you, counsel. Thank you to the audit staff. The next item on the agenda is a rule. It's been a while since we passed a rule, but we've actually got a rule. We were, it is Reg 2018-04 on Senate filing. It's an interim final rule. This will, oh, Ms. Wallstriker, you're back. And your children are still incredibly well behaved. I usually see them in the grocery store. Excuse me, Ms. Hemsley. I thought she was coming up to the table, but it is Ms. Hemsley. No, that's okay. That's okay. Well, however you guys want to sit. We've got an extra chair. The Senate, Mirabil Dick II, and the House, and the President signed it into law, actually passed e-filing for Senate reports. We are very thrilled about that, and we have a rule that will change our reg book to reflect this new, exciting state of existence. Either counsel who would like to speak to this. Ms. Hemsley, thank you.
Thank you, Chair Weintraub, and good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Agenda document 19-16A is a draft interim final rule implementing legislation requiring that all campaign finance report statements and designations be filed with the commission. The legislation ended the requirement of Senate candidates and other political committees to file with the Secretary of the Senate. The draft interim final rule amends 11 CFR Part 105, where to file, as well as several other sections of 11 CFR to remove all references to filing with the Secretary of the Senate and to clarify that all filings now come to the commission. The rulemaking falls under the good cause section of the Administrative Procedures Act because it does not involve any commission discretion or policy judgments in implementing the legislation, which was one line. Thank you. We're happy to answer any questions.
And although there is no policy judgment to implement, we do agree that it is very good policy, and we're glad to have it. Any questions or discussion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, thank Council for their work to get this before us quickly. I think it's, while it may not be the most elaborate rulemaking, it's an important one. This is a policy Senate e-filing. It was one that was long in gestation. I was a staffer up on Capitol Hill when I was being lobbied to see what I could do to...
Yeah, why didn't you fix that for us, Mr. Vice Chairman?
Well, you know, there only so much... one can do. But there were many close calls along the way over the course of, you know, 15 years. I'm pleased that it was finally enacted by Congress. And now I'm pleased that we are able to promulgate the implementary rules here. So I think this is a positive step. I'm pleased that I'll be able to support a motion to pass this rule.
I was kind of hoping you'd make the motion.
I didn't want to step on anybody else if they wanted to make a comment, but I'll make that motion.
Hang on a sec, Commissioner Walter.
I think just to add to that, that will save us anywhere between $300,000 and $500,000 a year to be able to accomplish this. So it's a really nice fiscal impact also.
Actually, the numbers are much higher than that.
I've heard that too.
We've already... Exactly. We had a couple of staff who were working on this, and when they left, we did not replace them. So we've already realized some savings on that. But I think it was up to about almost $900,000, the last estimate that I saw. So that is good news. And also, it will just make life better for, I know, the many folks who like to pore over these reports. They'll be available electronically, quickly, and searchable, and it's a good move for transparency, make all of our lives easier. It's all for the good. Delighted to adopt a rule, and looking forward to maybe adopting some more rules this year. With that, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In our consideration of Reg 2018-04, which is Senate filing, I move approval of agenda document number 19-16-A.
Vice Chairman has moved approval of agenda document 19-16-A, an interim final rule on Senate filing, Reg 2018-04. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Yay! The motion passes unanimously. As I said, we're going to get you those meeting dates soon, but they're not ready yet. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters we need to discuss?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Well, then, I wish everyone a happy Take Your Kids to Work Day. I hope all the kids have a great time, and this meeting is adjourned.